Hello, 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 and a warm welcome to all of our witches, white letters, and warlocks out there. My name is Clark.
And I'm Victoria, and you're listening to Charmed and Dangerous, a Charmed podcast.
Hello and welcome back. Take two, Electric Boogaloo. we're on episode 20 of season 2, Astral Monkey, and we don't have a lot to talk about in this episode. Victoria has read the summary this week due to a set of unfortunate
just Wi-Fi issues. So many but, Wi-Fi issues.
We're gonna head straight into it.
Here we go. All right. So Dr. Williamson has really got to learn how to let things go. After pestering Piper for months about coming in to run more tests on how she recovered from Arroyo fever, and several months of her ignoring him, he decides to push things further and inject the sister's blood into monkeys he names after them. The monkeys decide to fight back and inject the bad doctor with blood from all three sisters, essentially sealing his fate. The sisters' powers grew in their bloodline for generations before they were able to handle them, and in his mortal body, it was too much. After endlessly trying to save Williamson despite the fact that he was killing more or less innocent people, after a final showdown, we see their battle come to an end with the gruesome death of the doctor, and Piper blaming herself for not being able to save him. Was he an innocent, as she thought? A modern Icarus flying too close to the sun? Or was he just a greedy, greedy man, given the powers to take others' fate into his own hands? You decide.
Yeah, so, I mean, not exactly a lighthearted episode.
No.
And I did want to bring up that question first and foremost, is Dr. Williamson a big bad, or is he just someone who had an unfortunate hand dealt from the magic gods? I think he's a big bad. I think he's just a greedy man that wants to make a name for himself, and the powers drove him crazier than he already was, but I think from the very start, Williamson is a big bad.
I agree. I definitely think that he is a big bad. I don't think that he's an innocent, because if he was an innocent, the sisters would have been propelled to save him.
Mm-hmm.
But, because of course, there's the discussion of, like, because he was injected with, like, three different powers that made him crazy, can he be completely blamed for his actions? But at the same time, like, if any of you have seen the anime Death Note, we still don't sympathize with Light, you know? Like, no matter what the circumstances are, you don't get to play God and, like, rip out people's kidneys.
Yeah, and I think it would have been a different question if he was still kind of doing the vigilante thing where he, like, the powers drove him crazy enough to want to steal people's organs. But I think the fact that he took it a step further and after the first person just started absolutely mutilating and straight up murdering people.
Yeah.
I think at that point, it becomes a moot point on whether or not the powers are responsible for what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he got the power and he used it to kill when he easily could have saved those people's lives as well.
And to get away with it as well.
Yeah.
Because It was one thing for him to drop off organs for his sister and then to let it be done. And instead, he continuously went through and killed people and then evaded the police.
Yeah.
So he knew what he was doing was wrong, and he just evaded them.
Exactly. Like, it wasn't like a, oh, but here's this, like, he didn't walk up to a hospital, get into police custody, and then go, oh, haha, I thought I was doing a good thing. Like, he went out of his way to make sure that he didn't get caught.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think I'm putting a point in Dr. Williamson as Big Bad.
Yes. And I also think that, like, it all started with research that was going to be good research. That was going to be about saving people from this disease. But as a scientist, as a person in the scientific community, when your test results don't give you information, you don't waste time, effort, and funding to continue beating a dead horse.
Yeah.
So he should have just let it go and continue to research alternative ways to cure people of Aroya fever.
And not only was he told to let it go, he was told to let it go by his, like, attending, doctor. Like, his boss told him, we're pulling your funding, this is no longer viable, stop your testing. And then he continued to do it to the point where it became dangerous.
Yeah. And an important point of it was, like, his boss said, let it go. There are other people who need help.
Mm-hmm.
Because the American healthcare system is not great, and every doctor is needed.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, let's go straight into talking points. It is important to note that this episode starts... because we've been having some weird timeline issues. This episode, episode 20, is 3 months since episode 12, which is when Piper got Aroya fever.
Yes.
Take that as you will. It doesn't feel... like, that's how that timing would work.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I guess it makes sense because we're talking, you know, 8 episodes ago. Like, if the episodes are airing weekly, that's, like, 2, almost 3 months. So,
yeah.
It's safe to say that as of right now, the series is progressing approximately accurate to the viewer's timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, fuck Williamson. Particularly fuck Williamson's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
They're both dicks.
That was sucky.
His brother-in-law, like, pulls this whole, like, you're a doctor and you're letting her die thing, like, as this man is literally trying to find a cure for her.
Yeah.
Like, honestly and truly, yes, the health system is just that bad, but also, if you are that terminal with a kidney disease, chances are you're that low on the list because the kidney damage was caused by your action.
And also, like, doctors are not magicians. If they were, our lives would be a lot different, but they aren't.
Yeah, like, I mean, if the kidneys aren't out there, the kidneys aren't out there, and there's nothing that he could have done about that. But I do think that we need to bring into consideration that Williamson's brother-in-law is mildly at the core of what pushed him over the edge.
Absolutely.
Like, that kind of... because he's the reason that Williamson even went after who he went after in the first place. Because he made the comment of, like, because I guess Williamson's brother-in-law is a cop. And he says, it's not fair that she's lying here dying. And there's a bunch of criminals that got released on a technicality.
Yeah, which is, like, so shitty. Like,
I get it, you're upset, but also, like, They're human beings.
Don't wish for somebody to, like, die.
In return for
a kid.
A person that you want to live, like, no one deserves that kind of fate. Especially in this instance, where they're getting, you know, gutted, basically. And then they sit there and probably bleed to death if they don't pass out from the shock first.
Yeah.
They get to just sit there in fear, bleeding to death. Like, that's fucked.
Yeah, this was definitely, like, a Criminal Minds Charmed episode.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, it was a little much.
Like, but also, like, taking it back from some of the seriousness, we saw Daryl in this episode again.
Oh, thank God.
And he is so fucking over it.
He's so done.
But he's starting to ask more questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you noticed that, but he's kind of, like, questioning the girls and, like, starting to actually ask what's going on rather than just being like, oh, you guys are involved? Cool. I'll let you handle it. Like, he himself is becoming more involved in their world.
Yeah, he's starting to become a member of the team.
Yeah.
Not just somebody that's
rather than, yeah, somebody that just happens to know their secret. I don't know, so this episode is really all kind of connected. One thing that I wanted to bring up, I guess, is where we'll go, is the fact that Williamson is injected with these powers, what, the morning that this episode starts? Like, this episode takes place in a day, if I'm not mistaken, more or less.
Yes.
And he, by the end of this day, like, late afternoon, like, not even night, really, he has almost better control over the girls' powers than they do.
Yeah.
And that's interesting to me because I want to know why, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
They've spent, like, the last 2 years of their lives learning how to control and master and perfect their powers. And this man's gets them for not even 24 hours and nearly beats them in a saw fight.
And I wonder if that is kind of the price you pay, you know? Because, so, first of all, the spell that saved Piper literally changed their blood and infused it with magic. We learned that in this episode. That,
yes,
the girl's blood is infused with their magic. And that if that blood is injected, that the person it is injected to, unless that the magic is taken out, will then gain their powers without the girls losing theirs.
But if their body is not ready for it, those powers will eventually drive them mad.
Yes.
And it almost, I almost wonder if the reason that he was so powerful and the reason that he went downhill so fast is because he was infused with all three of their powers.
Yes.
Because that's like the most powerful good to ever exist. Like, all of that magic is just stuffed inside of his body, whereas they have the three of them.
Yes. And I think that one of the reasons that he is so powerful is because he is not getting blood of the sisters from 2 years ago. He has blood of the sisters from 3 months ago.
Mm, you make an excellent point.
So he's getting powers that were infused into blood that have been developed.
Mm, so you think that development automatically transferred to him? I guess it did kind of with the monkeys as well.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next question. Why didn't it affect the monkeys the way that it did Williamson? You know what I mean?
Yes. I think A, because they got it taken care of.
Right.
And B, because each of the monkeys just had one power.
Right.
So I mean, but it would have taken longer for that madness to be on the onset.
Fair. Yes, fair.
Whereas William got all three, and then it took him like 24 hours to go completely downhill.
Right, right. And we see in this episode that not only do they have their powers, but they're, I mean, they literally are sharing their powers. Right. Like when they try to scry for Williamson towards the end of the episode, they keep getting themselves because that's essentially what they're scrying for, is their powers, just not with them. But I guess it makes sense that, like, it did develop so fast in him. I think it also definitely helps that I think he had a little bit of that edge, that madness in him already.
From, like, man.
Yeah, he was losing control. Like, he couldn't save his sister. So he already had some of that desperateness in him. And that, I think, also aided in how fast he deteriorated.
Absolutely.
But speaking of the blood and Williamson's involvement, let's transition to Piper in this episode. This is a Piper episode.
Yeah. This shit hit her hard.
Yeah, I mean, the episode opens and closes with Piper dealing with her feelings about Williamson.
Yes.
Like, it starts from him being this nuisance, this bug in her hair. And then at the end of the episode, she's literally bawling in Leo's arms because she couldn't save the man that tried to save her.
Yes.
And it's hard. It's hard to watch. Because this whole episode, Piper is just trying her damnedest to save this man, despite the fact that he is very obviously dangerous. Like, she even tells Daryl, like, please don't go after him. If you try to stop him, he's going to kill you.
Yeah. She's but aware yet, of how dangerous he is.
She still, at every turn, is like, what are you saying? Should we kill him? Like, that's ridiculous, because in Piper's eyes, he's still just a human. He's an innocent.
Yeah. And she has a point.
Yes. And a lot of her feelings are very valid in this episode. And I feel like some of what happens in this episode, if we take a step back and look at the context of Piper's last year.
Yeah.
I think, really and truly, I think this is less about Dr. Williamson for Piper and more about the fact that she just can't get control. It's like everywhere she turns, every decision she makes still somehow gets pulled from her hands.
Yeah.
And in this aspect, she just wanted to be able to save him so that she could take some of that control back from magic. Like, magic is ruining her life in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Like, she has Leo and she has this bond with her sisters, but it's almost like every time she tries to get away from it, it punishes her.
Yeah.
Which makes her want to pull away from it more.
And then, in addition, one of the hugest talking points from our last episode was you cannot punish the guilty. So Piper is the only one of the two other sisters who hasn't had the urge nor the need to punish the guilty yet.
Yeah.
She hasn't had to come up against that. So she is not thinking of Dr. Williamson as somebody who's out there murdering people. She's thinking of him as a person who is going mad. Piper is not an unbiased party.
Oh, no. And, I mean, how could you expect her to be, you know? Like, for all his flaws, he did take her in as a patient and try and save her life when she contracted royal fever. Which ties right back into that guilt of, if she hadn't gotten that fruit, if she hadn't skipped the quarantine process, just so that she could have some cool new fruit for her club,
mm-hmm.
none of this would have happened.
Yep.
And you can see her struggling with that in this episode. Like, it doesn't just have to do with what happened in this episode. Nothing would have gone wrong if she hadn't just gotten the fruit legally.
Yeah.
Like, this small, seemingly tiny decision from 3 months ago is resulting in the deaths of, what, half a dozen people?
Yes.
Like, God, you can only imagine what that would do to a person.
Yeah, and the guilt that she must feel.
It's absolutely brutal. Like, we see Piper struggle internally a lot this episode in a way that we don't see her do openly a lot, especially in the later seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
She really, like, closes up and, like, we don't really see a lot of this raw emotion from Piper, and it was very heavy.
Yeah.
It was a very heavy theme in this episode.
Ooh, it was heavy, and she did not hide her grief. You know, she's trying to keep it together as best she can, but that he throws a wheel, she stops it to save her sisters. They duck, it bounces, it kills him. She didn't throw the wheel. She did not put the knife to his chest, you know, she didn't shoot the gun.
But in her head, she's responsible for his death.
Yes.
And I guess, I don't know, do you have anything else to say about this? Because I think this is a good transition point into an upcoming theme that we're going to see a lot, especially in this next season. I don't know about you, but, like, I kept seeing the episode from next season in this episode. So Prue has this, like, utterly just plain old plot convenience, like, flash fake romance with this actor that she's supposed to be photographing. And it leads to a very serious chance of exposure for the girls.
Yep.
And this isn't really something they've had to deal with on this scale yet. And I swear, it, like, this whole episode, I was like, I'm having deja vu. Like, when is it gonna happen?
Yep.
Honestly, like, it becomes very real to the sisters in this episode that, like, they need to be careful.
Yeah.
like, they had, you know, the kind of scare with Phoebe and punishing the guilty and all that, that we've talked about previously. But I don't think they ever thought that something like this would come back to bite them in the ass.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost as if the personal gain from 3 months ago finally pulled around and was like, well, time to pay up.
Yep. We are starting to see that sometimes witch karma comes in waves.
Yeah, no, seriously, like, they had their immediate cosmic karma when they first cast the spell, and then it came back with tenfold in this episode. And it really enforced that, like, they need to think about their actions, like, four times over before they do them.
Because they're serious. They're serious consequences, and, like, we are going to discuss personal gain in just a little bit, yes. But I do want to bring up, like, for example, in this episode, Prue just, like, turns up the TV volume at the hospital.
Yeah.
With her powers. If somebody saw her do that and documented it, it would cause lots of issues.
And this was the beginning of the episode, before the paparazzi and all that, but it's so in your face how casual they've gotten with magic.
Yes.
And I feel like this is a lesson they have to relearn, like, every season.
Yep.
It's like,
they've gotten comfortable.
Yeah, snap, snap, pay attention. You've gotten too comfy. Like, you have, it's like a guest that's overstayed their welcome. Like, time to get out, time to rethink your shit.
Yep.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't really have much more to say on that, except for the fact that we will be seeing this again, and next time, the consequences aren't going to be so
easy.
Minor.
Yeah. Yeah, and though this is a, definitely it's a hyper-focused episode, we do see a little bit of Phoebe being frustrated that Leo is basically living at the mansion rent-free.
Right. And I think part of, yeah, eating all our granola, yeah, the worst part of it all. But I think part of it, and we see this at the end, is originally it's a cousin of jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like, damn, I want someone to come in here and eat all the cereal and love me the way that Leo loves Piper. Like, because Piper asks the sisters to set a list of ground rules, like what's okay, what's not okay for Leo to do while he's in the house. And Prue's just like, dude, whatever, like, just be happy. And Phoebe's like, he's pushing my boundaries.
Yep.
But then we see her at the end of the episode, and she does a 180, and she's like, dude, I just want you to be happy, and I want to someday find someone that makes me that happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. It's a growing moment for Phoebe, I think.
Absolutely. And it's nice, too, because Phoebe's not mad at Leo.
No, of course not.
She just wants Piper to, like, lay down the law a little bit.
But it's like, it's all like easy fixes. Yeah. Like buy an extra box of granola. I don't know. Like, and I think that that's what Phoebe realizes, is that she's being a little dramatic.
Yeah, you know?
She said, he's the brother I never wanted. I mean,
had.
But yeah, there was a little bit of fun this episode.
Not a ton.
We'll probably get into that a bit more in favorite lines and favorite parts, because there wasn't a lot to, in the traditional sense of the word, enjoy in this episode.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, like, it's a great episode, but not like a, yeah, I can quote this one because it's so funny and jokes.
Yeah, no.
lots
of death.
Yeah. But, I mean, for me, that wraps up talking points. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say about this episode?
No, I definitely think that the talking points, the main talking points of this episode are on Williamson and Piper.
I agree.
And now we get to move into personal gain.
Yes, yes. There's two for sure additions to this episode, and then two more that I think are a little bit questionable. So, do you want to get started with the for sure's?
Yes. So, we're going from 59. We're adding two. One for Prue turning up the TV volume at the hospital, flippantly. And then one for freezing the reporters. Because, like, they have a back door.
Yeah, like... Nobody else gets that luxury. Like, come on. You can deal with the press.
So that brings us up to 61.
Right.
And then the questionable ones, I'll just go ahead and dip right into that.
Yeah.
One for escaping the hospital with the monkeys, which I don't consider personal gain, because if they didn't, then we would have monkeys with powers running around.
Right.
And then one for freezing the records lady, which I do think we can consider personal gain, even though it was used to save a life.
It was used to save a life, but almost too late.
Yeah.
I think plus one for freezing the records lady. The only reason that I considered putting escaping the hospital with the monkeys on there is just because it felt like they could have done it without their powers, but also, like, I can see how they might not have been able to do it without their powers. So, like, yeah, I mean, I'd be good with not giving that one a point. But that does bring us to, what, 62 now?
Yes.
Oh, 62. God. They were doing so good.
They were, and, you know, that's 31 per season if we divide it evenly.
Which is just over one per episode.
Yeah.
Which is still not great. Like, yeah. Should definitely be less than that.
Yeah.
But that does bring us to our short ad break. Do you like gaming? Do you like making friends? Do you just want to have a place to chat with Clark and Victoria because you just can't get enough of them? Well, we've got just the place for you. Galaxy Gaming, home to every game under the stars, is a Discord server where you can assign yourself roles and find friends to chat or game with. The community is absolutely fantastic and super welcoming.
Between the game matchups, constant involvement contests, and minigames, this server has it all. Follow the link in any of our social media or shoot us an email letting us know you're interested, and we'll get you in. Thank you for listening, and we can't wait to see you there.
Woo! Yeah! Galaxy Gaming! We just added, I think, like, 2 or 3 more games to the server. So, hey, come check it out. But that does bring us to favorite lines and favorite parts. What was yours this episode?
So, Leo orbs in and then says what Clark is going to discuss. But my favorite part of it is the sheer awkwardness and how he, like, gives Phoebe finger guns. And then, like, runs out like a flustered schoolboy.
Yes. Honestly, I think I kind of missed that part. I was, like, half paying attention because I have, like, family in town. But, yeah, the scene starts and someone is going through Piper's closet, presumably Piper, and Leo orbs in behind her and sneaks up real close and goes, "You ever done it on a cloud?" And then Phoebe turns around and goes, "I don't know, does a feather bed count?" And it is just the most awkward thing in the world. And he's like, Piper? And she's just like, "Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Wrong sister."
Like, yeah, she's like, "I guess it could happen to anyone who doesn't have to knock when they enter a room."
Right. And then she pulls out a little piece of paper and, like, writes it down, like a demand sheet.
Yeah, she has, like, a, like, she's taken what Piper said to heart and, like, really making a, "These are my guidelines."
Yeah,
it's pretty funny. It's a great moment. But, Victoria, how would you rate this episode out of 5 cool motive still murders?
First of all, I love the rating. Love it.
I thought it was funny.
It's hysterical.
I want to rewatch this show now.
Honestly, I would give this, like, 3 cool motive still murders.
All right. I think that's pretty fair. Honestly, this episode had a really good concept, but when it comes to consistency and overall plot, I think a 2.7 is where I'm at, which I think is very possibly one of the lowest I've given for the show. Yeah,
2.7 cool motive.
Cool motive still murders.
Yeah. I agree.
It's pretty low. I think that this episode had a lot of really great themes and a lot of really great concepts. I don't know how well they were executed.
Yeah, and there is, like, 0 rewatchability factor.
Yeah.
It's really not honestly, a pleasant episode to watch.
There's not much that happens in this episode besides the obvious Piper guilt that is nothing we couldn't have gained from the rest of the show.
Yeah.
Like, this episode felt like a way to push in our face that Piper's still not totally cool with being a witch. and it just doesn't feel like it flows with the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But I might feel differently after I rewatch the next episode next week. Like maybe it flows better than I think it does.
Maybe.
But yes. Yeah. It has been 0 days since we've seen Leo. It's also been 0 days since we've seen
Daryl.
But that does bring us to the end of our episode, unless you have anything else, Victoria.
No. We're good.
Alrighty. Well, if the people want to find us on Twitter and interact with us there, where can they find us, Victoria?
You can find us on Twitter at @charmed_podcast. Where can they find us on Facebook, Clark?
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/charmedanddangerouspod or by searching Charmed and Dangerous Podcast in the search bar. Victoria, where can they find us on Instagram, even though we haven't posted there in 20 years?
You can find our soon-to-be-closed Instagram page at Charmed and Dangerous Pod.
I'm going to post something today. I feel bad.
Where can they find us for questions, comments, snarky remarks?
Yeah, if you want to find us for questions, comments, concerns, snarky remarks, if you want to dispute a personal gain that we gave or did not give, you can email us at charmedanddangerouspod@gmail.com. And of course, you can find us on the Galaxy Gaming server. We have our own channel, and I am there more than I'm anywhere else. So,
Clark's consistent.
I have. Also too much of one. It's really a struggle and a paradox, and I hate it, but I love it, you know, paradox. That's all we've got for you this week. I'm gonna go have the rest of my existential crisis now. Love you so much. See you next week. Blessed be.